And as soon as my person back here tells me it's ready, by the way, being in prayer, I'm going to have to find a replacement. No, I'm not going to bite you. Everybody, are we ready? I want you to open your Bibles. Acts chapter 1, verse 3. This is our last sermon in this little summer series on the kingdom of God. You know, in all honesty, many of these parables that we've looked at are very short, and we have dug into them a little bit, but how many of you know when it comes to the Word of God, you can go back and we could actually go over all of these parables again, and I guarantee you we can dig deeper and find more truth than what we've covered. I'm just curious, how many of you, and if you haven't, don't be ashamed of this. How many of you have at least once in your life read the entire Bible through at least once in your life? I'd encourage you to try to do that, but I'm going to tell you something. I've read it through several times in my life, and every time I go back through it, I find things I missed the last several times. There have been scriptures, just like in one of these parables, the one about hiding the lamp under a bushel. I grew up hearing that story. I've read that many times. I had always missed the fact that it talks about hiding
a lamp under a bushel or a bed. I totally missed that. So once you read through the Word of God, don't think you've got it all down, because it's the one book that has been given to us in life that you will never comprehend all of it, so go through it again and again and again. I don't do that with very many books. But I'll tell you what, the Bible is one book to read over and over and over. Acts chapter 1, verse 3, I call it to your attention as we wrap up this series to remind you of why we did this series. And after Jesus' suffering, he showed himself to the disciples and many others, and he gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. And he appeared to them over a period of 40 days, and he spoke about what? The kingdom of God. Again, if we would comprehend, listen to me, if we would fully pay attention to the times in which we live, and if we fully understood how short this life is for us, we would stop worrying about trivial stuff and we'd get down to business and do what God has called us and put us here to do. I felt led to post something last night. Some of you are not into social media. Some of you are. I felt led to post this last night, and I'll just say it today. I felt led to post this. It said, if we would just stop playing games and simply be obedient, because his word is not that difficult to understand. And yet, I can tell you right now, over the last few weeks, a lot of us have been guilty of playing nonsense games, and we need to stop it. We need to adapt the attitude of Jesus Christ in those last 40 days. He knew his time was short, and he got down to business about what's important: the kingdom of God. Well, today we're going to look at our last parable, Matthew chapter 13. Title of the message today is Good Fish, Bad Fish, What Fish Are You? Before we read the parable, before we dip our little toe into the water of God's Word, I want you to find somebody, and please, some of you don't do this when I ask you. Today, I'm all but going to just demand you do this. Find somebody, look them in the eye right now, quickly. Find somebody, look them in the eye, quickly. Look at them and say, find somebody. You may have to get up and move. Come on, folks, come on. When you can't even do that, how can you think that God's going to help you do something out there? Look them in the eye. Say, I love you with the love of Jesus. You're not done. Keep looking them in the eye. I love you with the love of Jesus. But you're a fish. Not a fish inspector. I want us to start this. You can be seated now. I want us to start this parable off, and I want each and every person to understand in this parable who you are. You are a fish. You are not a fish inspector. And some of us have a tendency to want to do jobs that are not ours. Now, I want you to listen carefully to the parable just as Jesus told it. Jesus is speaking in Matthew 13, beginning in verse 47 through verse 51. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. Glance at somebody and say, that's you and me. We're fish. We're not fish inspectors. We're fish. And when it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come. Look at somebody and say, that's not me and you. We're not angels. We're fish. This is how it will be at the end of the age. And the angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. This parable is similar to that of the wheat and the tares that we looked at a few weeks ago. Jesus says, listen, the kingdom of God is like this. A great net is let out into the water. Have any of you ever fished with that kind of a net? Charlie, you have? Down on the Gulf, I bet, right? And so they thought. That's not the kind of fishing you do for fun. That's the kind of fishing you do to make a living. And I will guarantee you that those fishermen, every time they throw those nets out, and they still do this, I like watching certain channels once in a while, like the Smithsonian Channel, National Geographic. They have some really neat shows on, documentary type shows. And they still do this in places. They go out there and they throw these giant nets out. Now, the thing is, those nets cannot distinguish what kind of fish they're going to catch. They simply throw out the net and they gather up whatever comes in. Then the fishermen have a job to do. They have to separate them. This one's a keeper, throw it out. It's a keeper, throw it out. Can I tell you, the kingdom of God is the same way. Listen very closely. What Jesus is saying to us in this parable is that not everybody who sits in church on Sunday morning is a good fish. We're going to jump into some other scriptures in a moment. We're going to find out that sometimes even those that we think are good fish are not good fish. I want you to listen very closely, folks. This message this morning, I did not schedule in time. In fact, I had a different schedule lined up of when this sermon was going to be preached, and God changed the schedule around and moved it to this Sunday for a reason. All right? At the end of the age, Jesus says, those who think they're all part of the kingdom will be like fish caught in that net, and they will be brought together, and he will assign his angels the duty of separating the righteous from the wicked. And the thing of it is, we sometimes think we know who are the good fish and who are the bad fish, and the reality of it is, can I tell you, one of these days, if you and I are in heaven, we're going to look around and say, they made it? Wow. I thought sure they were a bad fish. And then we're going to look around and we're going to say, where is so-and-so? Boy, did they fool me. They ended up being a bad fish. But it's not our job to be fish inspectors in this life. That's not my job. That's not your job. You catch me being a fish inspector, you need to look at me and say, Pastor, stop it. Now, I will tell you this. If you see a fellow fish starting to swim into a trap of the enemy or into a channel that is not healthy for it, your job is not to be a fish inspector, but your job is to be a good fellow fish and go and talk to them and say, stop, you need to come back. Right. want you to go with me to Matthew chapter 7. Verses 21 and 23. This ties in so beautifully with what Jesus is saying in this parable. Matthew 7, 21 and 20 through 23 says this. Again, Jesus is speaking. I'm just going to tell you this. If anything in the Word of God offends you, that's between you and God. You need to go talk to Him. And probably means you got to do something about it. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Ooh. I was talking with somebody this week outside this church, and we were just talking about sermons and Bible studies, and I said, this is what the sermon's about this week, and I brought up this verse, and this person made this comment, said, wow, notice how the people Jesus is talking about said, Lord, Lord, they said it twice, trying to overemphasize it. Can I tell you, we need to be careful? Can I tell you, having a super religious sounding vocabulary is not always a sign that somebody is where they need to be with God. I always think about a dear pastor friend of mine one time called me up. He said, I don't get it. My people aren't responding to my messages. I said, what are you preaching about? He says, I'm doing a series and we talked about soteriology and pneumatology and eschatology. I said, would you stop it? He said, what do you mean? I said, if you want to use theological terms, call me up. We'll talk. I said, when you get in front of your people, talk about salvation and the Holy Spirit and the end times when Jesus comes back for the church. You know what? There are certain terms we need to know, but for the most part, let's keep it simple. Amen. Just because you walk around saying, oh, Lord, Lord, doesn't make you a good fish. Oh, you got quiet on me there. I expected a little response. Jesus says there will be those who will say, Lord, Lord. And they'll begin to list all the things they did, supposedly in the name of the Lord. Oh, Lord, did we not cast out demons? Lord, did we not perform miracles? Lord, did we not... Lord, did we not do this? Lord, did we not do that? Oh, Lord, didn't we do all of these things in your name? And he's going to look at them, and I want you to understand and let this hit you as hard as it should. When Jesus looks at someone and says, I don't even know you. Oh, wait a minute, Pastor. I thought Jesus knew everything. Can I tell you that word knew, that word know in that context means he does not have an ongoing personal intimate relationship with you. I want you to think about that. Lord, we did all of these things in your name. Let me read to you a commentary that I used. It says, Jesus clearly states that there will be many who believe they are serving him and who appear to do great works for him, yet in reality they never had a true personal relationship with Christ. To escape the temptation and deceit that will be very common in the end times, followers of Christ and church leaders must be totally committed to the truth revealed in God's word. We must never, listen to me closely, please. I need your full attention on this one. We must never consider outward success or results from ministry as the standard by which to determine our relationship with Christ. Each of us must strive to know him deeply and to live by the instructions and guidelines in God's word. Let me read this paragraph to you. Many times God overrides Satan's activity in false
preachers and teachers and church members in order to bring genuine spiritual salvation or healing to those who truly respond to God's word. Let that soak in a minute. Just because someone draws a giant crowd and preaches to them does not mean they're where they need to be. Just because they pray and people are healed does not automatically mean they're a good fish. Back in my teenage years, there was a gentleman, I don't even remember his name now, he was well known at the time. He did healing crusades. He drew hundreds and hundreds of people to his crusades, and he prayed for people, and God healed many of them. But when he was in Albuquerque, it was discovered he was caught out one night having dinner with several ladies, and not a one of them was his wife. And needless to say, they were a bit inebriated. And the pastors who had invited him into town were quick to shut the thing down. And some said, oh, but how can you do that? People are being healed under his ministry. God honored the faith of the people in spite of the falseness of the fish. Amen? Sometimes God will still honor your faith even if the person ministering to you is a bad fish. Stop being a fish inspector. Your job is not to inspect fish. It is to make sure you are what you're supposed to be. But many will stand before Christ at the judgment seat one day, and they will say, but Lord, weren't we obedient to do what you told us to do? We went through the motions. We came to church on Sunday morning. We came to Bible study on Wednesday night. We attended Women of Rest. We stood when the pastor said to stand. We bowed our heads when the pastor said to pray. We sang the songs. We raised our hands. We went through all the motions. And he's going to say, I don't even know you. Good fish, bad fish. What fish are you? There's another story he told that kind of describes this situation. Go with me to Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49. And if you're feeling like the message is a little negative now, just hang with me. It's going to get positive in a moment. Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49. Jesus again is speaking. He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? Oh, how many of you, let me take a poll here a minute. How many of you do not, will be honest enough to say, I really don't understand the definition of the word Lord? It's not a word that we use very often. It goes against our grain. What did we just celebrate on July the 4th? What did we celebrate? Our independence and our freedom. Can I tell you, listen to me closely, sometimes to be a good fish and follower of Christ is going to run counter to being a good American. It's going to run counter to being a good American. We're all about independence and freedom, and I can do it myself. I'll pull myself up by my own bootstraps. I don't need anybody. If John Wayne only kissed his horse and rode off into the sunset, so will I. And yet all through the Word of God, we're told that we can't do it on our own. We need a Savior. We need someone to help us. We need someone to direct us in the right direction, and that someone is Jesus Christ. Do you understand, in the New Testament, the second half of your Bible, Jesus is actually called Lord more times than he's called Savior. He wants to be your Savior, but if he's going to be your Savior, he's got to be your Lord. He's got to be your master and the one that is in control. In other words, he's not your Lord unless you are obedient to everything he tells us to do in his word. Now, we're not perfect at it. We're going to struggle. We're going to slip up. But we're working at it. We're striving. We're trying. Amen? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. Excuse me. He is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. And when the flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck the house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. I want us to look at that story a minute. Both of these people had the same desire. They both wanted a nice house. Can we agree on that? See, I see nothing in the story that says that the one guy built a sloppy house. They both wanted a nice house. They wanted a house that looked good. Can I tell you, it's a sad commentary on the church today, but we got a lot of people sitting in the church that they want a good facade. They want to look good in front of everybody. They want everyone to pat them on the back and tell them what a wonderful, godly person they are. Both of these men wanted a nice house, but one of them understood that if he wanted that nice house to really matter, he wanted that nice house to last and be a legacy that he could pass on to his children and his grandchildren, he understood that he had to lay a good foundation. I will tell you right now, if you're going to lay a good foundation on solid rock, you got to dig down pretty deep. Can some of you here that have been here longer, can any of you tell me how far down here would you have to dig to hit solid rock? I have no idea. 3 feet? That's not bad in certain places. I will tell you, if you go to Albuquerque and you go up into the what we call the Northeast Heights, you don't have to dig at all. You're on solid. In fact, you've got to blast out and dig out some solid rock just to level it out enough to build a house. To build on solid foundation, whether you're talking about a house or your life, it requires some hard work. See, the one man put in the hard work. He dug down till he found the solid rock, and he said, I'm going to build something that's going to last. The other man said, you know what? All I want is a nice house that everybody can see and tell me what a good guy I am. Are you hearing me? Here's a question for you to think about a minute. Are you building spiritually? Are you building for the future generations? Or are you only building so people think you're a pretty good person? Both of these men, and I'm going to put this in the modern context, both of these men were obedient to follow the architect's plans, and they were both obedient to build within the codes, except for the fact of the foundation. One of them ignored it, and the other one didn't. You see, the reality of it is you can come and sit in church every time the doors are open from the time you're a child till you die at 100 years old. But if you do not build on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ and work to be obedient to him, it's for nothing. Good fish, bad fish, what fish are you? You see, I think I got another slide up there. Go to another. Okay, back up one. We'll come to that in a minute. Let me tie this in to us for a moment. On the very last slide that you'll see, you're going to see a word, and I should have added another word to it. You see, one man was fully obedient, the other one only went through the motions. Can I ask you a question this morning? And it's a question you need to answer to yourself in your heart between you and God today. Are you really being obedient to God's word, or are you going through the motions putting on a show for everybody to see? And in a moment, I'm going to explain to you the difference. See, here's what this really means for us today. The purpose for you and me as we look at this parable of good fish, bad fish, is that we need to look into the Holy Spirit's mirror and determine, am I a good fish or a bad fish? And if I'm not being a good fish, how do I change? James, in his letter, and I believe it's in chapter 1, talks about the fact that he says the word of God is like a mirror that a man goes and looks in it. But the problem is that so many of us look in the mirror of God's word, then we turn around and we forgot what we saw. Now, if I'd have thought of this sooner this morning, I would have taken a picture of me right after I got out of bed. Joanne, why are you laughing at me? You can tell how I slept at night by whether or not the hair is still laying down or straight up, okay? Now, I want you to imagine, had I gotten up this morning, and when I roll out of bed, and right there's the mirror. You know. Imagine if I would have gotten up this morning, looked in the mirror, and saw my hair sticking all different directions. Yeah, you would have laughed. It's okay. Go ahead. Now, I looked in that mirror, and immediately my thought was this. I've definitely got to wash my hair in the shower this morning so that when I get out, I can use a comb and I can comb it down and lay it down so it looks halfway decent. But imagine if I would have looked in that mirror, saw the mess, and said, who cares? Got my dress clothes out, put them on. Never picked up a comb. And come to church. I could just see some of you walked up. So Betty would have probably gone to my wife and says, what is wrong with the pastor this morning? And my wife would have said, don't ask me. Andres would have probably sat back there at the drums and had a hard time drumming looking at that wild, crazy hair on my... Wonder what is wrong with pastor this morning? Georgia would have probably walked up to me and said, Pastor, did you forget to do something this morning? Well, like what? Like comb your hair? No, not a bit. She would have said, you're nuts. You need a hat? No, I don't like for men to wear, I don't wear a hat in the church, usually. It would probably look better. Now, that's a silly illustration, but friends, let me tell you something. There are too many times that we look into the mirror of God's word and we see what the need is, we see what the problem is we need to deal with, and we walk away and we don't deal with it. The Holy Spirit's mirror says, you need to straighten your hair, you need to wipe the mud off your face, you need to turn your lips up and get a smile on your face, and let the joy of the Lord be your strength, and we walk away with messy spiritual hair and a frown and a growl. Good fish, bad fish, what fish are you? See, here's the key. Hit the next slide. The purpose for us is complete obedience to God's word and God's will. That's what I felt led to put up when I put the slide together and put my notes together. But I'll tell you, the other night, we were driving back from Amarillo, and the Lord began to speak to me, and he says, you know what? There is something that has to go along with the obedience. You see, all those people that he's talked about that said, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all these things? They were obedient, but they missed out on something that's just as important as obedience. Motive. It's not just what did you do, but why did you do it? I'm going to tell you right now, there are many who call themselves ministers of the gospel. There are many who call themselves teachers of the word. There are many who call themselves leaders of the flock and leaders of the church. They're doing all the right things, but for all the wrong reasons. Here's a question we all need to face up to, no matter what our job or position is or what God's having us do in the body of Christ, no matter how big or how small it is. If I did what I do and absolutely no one said thank you or gave me a pat on the back, would I still do it faithfully? This is a crazy idea, and you can feel free to tell me so. But maybe we ought to go on a thank you fast in this church and see how long people keep doing what they've been asked to do. I'm not saying we will. I'm just saying it's something to think about. It's good to be told thank you. It's good to be told you're doing a good job. But if no one bothered to tell you, would you still do it? It comes back to the simple thing. You need to look in the mirror and ask, am I a good fish or a bad fish? Because you see, good fish will be obedient to the word of God simply because they love Jesus Christ and they want to do it for him. Amen? The kingdom of God is like a large net that was let down into the water, and when it was pulled in, the fishermen began to separate the fish, and they put the good fish over here, and they threw the bad fish back. And one of these days, there's going to be a great ingathering, and God is going to pull the net in, and the angels are going to begin to separate us. I don't know about you, but I think I need to daily look into the Holy Spirit's mirror and into the mirror of the Word of God, and every day I need to make sure that I am a good fish that is striving to become a better fish. And a better fish and a better fish. And one of these days, hopefully we'll reach that point where I will be such a good fish that you see more of Christ and less of me. And for some of us, that's hard. Because some of us are strong personalities. See, I'll have to admit, I like it when people come up and say, oh, that was a good sermon, Pastor. But what's funny is there's days that some of you tell me that, and I think it was the worst sermon I've ever preached. And then there's other days that, boy, I think I knocked it out of the park, and nobody says anything. Can I tell you what? Either way, I need to make sure I'm being a good fish and saying, Lord, whether they think it's good or whether they think it's bad, whether I think it's good or whether I think it's bad, it doesn't matter as long as I was faithful to bring the word you told me to bring. And that's why you need to approach life every day. Lord, I don't care what people say. It doesn't matter if they liked it or didn't like it. It doesn't matter if they said thank you or not. But Lord, was I obedient to do today what you wanted me to do? And therefore, I'm being the good fish. Good fish, bad fish. What fish are you today? Here's the good news. Maybe yesterday you weren't such a good fish. Notice he doesn't say the minute you behave like a bad fish, he throws you out. We serve a loving Heavenly Father who loves us, who wants to forgive us, and each and every day he wants to help us become good fish, even when we mess it up. How many of you ever had God specifically tell you, you knew you were supposed to do something and you just didn't do it? Okay, get your hands up. Here we go. Yeah. Andres, aren't you glad God doesn't go, well, you messed up that time and throw you on the trash heap right away? No, he's a loving Father that he says, all you have to do is come to me and repent. What is repent? Repent is when you say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. Help me make a U-turn and head in a new direction and not do that anymore. Forgive me. That's how we become good fish. That's how we stay good fish. When you mess up just once, you don't automatically become a bad fish. Becoming a bad fish is a lifestyle. But it is something we need to take inventory of. Amen? So, how many of you are ready to resign as fish inspectors and just concentrate on being good fish? If that's you, stand to your feet this morning. Good fish, bad fish. What fish are you? Our goal is that one day we will stand before him and we'll hear the most beautiful words we could hear. Well done, you have been a good and faithful servant. Enter into your rest. And those words will make everything you've endured in this life more than worth it. Amen? Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord God, forgive us for the times that we behave like bad fish, doing it our way, being disobedient or being obedient but with wrong motives. Lord God, forgive some of us for being fish inspectors. It's a hard habit to break, I know. And I'm working on it with your help. Lord God, let us swim out of here today and let us influence others to join us on the journey of being good fish in your kingdom. May they see more of you and less of us each and every day. And we'll give you praise and glory and honor. And Lord, we ask that you would definitely know us and help us to improve and increase daily our personal, intimate relationship with you. And Lord God, we ask all this in your wonderful name. Amen and amen. If you'd like to spend time